At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
Woo!
That was terrible.
Whoa.
I'm tired, y'all. Hi, friend. I was trying to adjust my shoes. Sorry.
Okay. It's okay. I thought maybe my woo was bad.
Hey-o.
Hi, all. We're having a very unenthusiastic woo.
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 So if you're listening on the live and going, what do you mean an unenthusiastic woo? You need to listen to the audio really just for about the first minute. Because while that song plays,
to hear the woo,
we say woo.
And this time we went woo.
Woo. Yeah.
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
It's evening.
Oh, wrong song.
It's evening.
Yeah.
It's pre-evening.
You know what's funny is that when we do this during the day, you're like, it's daytime.
It's daytime. Yeah.
It's morning.
It's morning.
It's evening.
I'm ready for
Casey. I just like speaking factual statements.
Yeah, Casey, you are no longer in our building. You are somewhere undifferent. Undifferent.
Yes, undifferent. I'm on location this week, y'all.
Hey, and the
in
y'all
the
fits.
South.
Y'all, yeah, in the south.
I can y'all really fits because I'm on location just outside of Jackson, Mississippi.
Woo. Woo, woo.
Oh, well, I heard they don't have internet down there or Kinko's.
I cannot confirm or deny Paul, the Kinko's thing.
I've not thought about Kinko's in years.
Don't get Paul going. Paul's trying to get going down a road.
I would never go down that road.
No. Paul never gets going on anything.
No. He never follows a bunny down a hole.
Okay. No. Well, anyways, so how is y'all doing? You start first, Casey, since you're on location.
I am doing excellent. So I'm down here because here to meet our goddaughter. So
can we meet her?
No, it is currently bedtime.
Darn it.
Oh, I was going to say, do you have photos of babies or an actual baby?
I have photos that I can share later. Okay. Absolutely.
Get permission from the parents.
Yeah, this is true.
Yes, also true. I don't have that. I'll get a signed document. And do it right.
There it is.
Make sure that's notarized.
Yes, but we didn't get a chance to meet her because she was born and baptized in the middle of December during the height of the pandemic when it wasn't safe to travel for her or for us. So finally get the chance to do that.
So what I'm hearing is you failed your first job as a godparent to witness the baptism of your godchild.
We streamed it. Okay. We watched the whole thing live streamed and we made sure that she was kept alive and didn't get COVID. I say we did our job to the best of our ability.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it.
We wanted, she got introduced to Jesus, and we made sure she wasn't introduced very early in person to Jesus.
There you go. All right, that went down a rabbit hole too. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm choosing to be quiet.
There you go.
Smart choices.
Stacy, how are you today?
I am feeling tired, but I'm okay.
Woo.
Yeah. Today is our anniversary.
Happy anniversary. I love you.
We haven't done any anniversary type things.
I posted something very sappy on Facebook.
Right. You posted the Facebook post.
Yes. You have not posted your sappy Facebook post yet.
Nope.
I don't think you've ever.
I have, but not today.
Okay.
You know,
I don't know.
Some people are so good at writing those sappy Facebook posts, and others are like.
It's genuine, but I feel like if I do it, it's obligatory.
That's why I gave you an office quote.
Well,
you're doing it because you want the recognition from your friends instead of just telling your husband who's sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
I appreciate a really heartfelt one.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. I already know the answer to this, but how many years?
13.
And so we're not sure if this is a thing. Like for your birthday, if it's your 13th birthday on the 13th.
You become a teenager.
That it's your golden birthday. Too. We're not sure if this is the golden anniversary. I think golden's 50. This was lace. This was a weird anniversary. So we're not.
Unless you go by the modern version.
Yeah, I did not get you fur either. My bad.
You got boots with the fur.
With the fur.
I take a fur coat too.
Some new faux fur.
You killed your faux fur coat.
Just the hood. That was just the hood.
Well, that was the only part that had the fur.
Boots.
I put it in the dryer.
Fur.
Ooh, I've never had the boots with fur. Yeah, it looked like
you could get some.
It looked like a dead
for winter
time.
Well, that's exciting.
It looked like a dead black otter. It's really what it looked like.
Was it salt and pepper?
Hey, speaking of that, we have t-shirts coming.
We do.
No.
Oh. I was all excited.
No, I have. I do. I want to show people. I have a design. It's all funny. Hey, Lacey.
The other half's on its way.
I'm good.
Who's on his way?
Oh, the other half of those designs.
Oh, is it on its way?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Supposedly.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Supposedly. Lacey, what's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, really. The library at school is clean. That's the biggest thing that's going on in my life.
The Gerber that sounds terrible. Half of the books off of the shelves.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And we brought some back.
No problems. No, things are good. Truly, good. I really don't have much to say. Okay. My husband came to dinner today, so that was awesome.
Yes, that was a surprise. We usually have a dinner. All our podcasteries with their families. We have a dinner before we have our little.
Yeah, and then we leave our children with
my wife.
Those who are not.
Thank you, Lori.
And Jeff today. And sometimes it's Tara. Yeah, it's Tara. Sometimes.
Tara.
But yeah, it's fun. Good job.
It's always Lori. She's done great with that.
Yeah.
We call it Podner.
We do.
That's what Anthony calls it.
Okay. I call it Podner. It's on my
podcast dinner.
It's on my calendar as Podner.
I love it.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
And Paul prayed before dinner today.
He did.
So. I did. For all the people.
He's all warmed up now.
Yeah. He's ready for the end of the podcast.
This is the reason why I don't pray.
We talk about Jesus.
Yes. Well, I don't generally pray out loud, and because I'll say words like "thank you for the people who infested my home."
Yeah.
That was really the prayer.
It was.
Hey,
it was.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yep. I got new rugs in my office this week.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh, last week. I should say last week. All week. I was there all week moving furniture. It was fun.
You said the smells were quiet.
Yeah. There was many days that I think I walked out of there high because of the glue. Not because I was sniffing it. But
because they were putting it was there.
Rugs. Yeah.
Because it was there. Yeah. But I will say that when you're ripping up rugs and all the dust and I don't know what it was, but my lips got really, really chapped.
Mm.
And they split. But then I got chapstick, and now they're not split.
Yeah.
Was it lavender lip balm?
Or is it Burt's Bees?
Lip balm.
No, it was the cheapest thing that I could find in Walmart.
Oh, okay.
So.
Carmex.
What's those of you out in Podville, what's your favorite chapstick?
Lavender lip balm.
I don't think I've ever finished off a tube.
I don't think I've ever used a tube more than like three times.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just,
I'm serious.
Like on my regular purchasing rotation because I use so much.
I buy so much, but I don't.
You don't use it.
I feel like I've never completely used an entire tube. I've either washed it, lost it, left it in the car,
or
melted.
Or the kids stole it.
Or,
the kids steal everything.
But you check out my desk at school and there's like eight of them in there.
The finish one.
I should make that my goal.
Well, I think it becomes a New thing that resolution. Once you haven't touched it for over like say a day, it becomes contaminated and you have to get a new one.
Mm.
I don't have that problem, but I never use it.
Oh, I thought because you use it every 4 hours or something.
I gotta reapply.
What's wrong with that, guys?
Yes. So what are we reading today, Gerbs?
I was just gonna say speaking of reapply, let's reapply God's word to our lives today.
I need to have a segue transition button.
You need the boom ching.
A bad transition.
Oh,
so,
nope,
wrong one.
Hold on.
Nope, not that one. Nope. So we are there. It is okay. The last button that Paul could find.
It's always the last button.
We are in Ephesians 1. We're going to read, and by we, I mean our Vanna White of reading the Bible, is going to read Ephesians 1, verses 15 through the end.
Oh, okay.
Of the book?
Yep. She's just keep reading, and then we will end the podcast.
Okay. Ephesians 1, 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Am I in the right place?
Yeah, you're in the NIV though, so I'm trying to follow you.
I'm trying to follow you too.
Okay. Darn it.
Verse 18 now. Sorry.
The whole world is reading ESV with us.
Yeah.
I'm reading.
The audio's fine. They don't know the difference.
Right. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all 21. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Does that version change your sermon?
Only part of it, because it took one sentence and turned it into four sentences. And so that would be much easier to diagram those sentences individually. And that saddens me, because that's not how Paul writes. Paul writes super run-ons.
Yeah, by the way, Burt's Bees got a shout out just so.
There you go. Oh. Yep, Burt's Bees. There you go.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so yeah, if you're reading in the Divine English Standard Version, no, they're all divine. This is God's word. Yeah, there's just a huge long run-on sentence from verse 15 through verse 21 is one sentence. It's just all these extra clauses. But where I really see things is that verse 18. And so how did you read that? Verse 18.
Just verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's the first part of 19.
Yeah.
But it was the end of the sentence.
Thank you for finishing the sentence.
That was the third part of your three things,
that was right? That was my three part. Yep.
Look, yeah, I listened a little bit.
You three did.
For the people who did not listen to you, what are you talking about?
So that, you know, the eyes, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. So this is really kind of, you know, as this is one long sentence, it's important, you know, the Spirit works in us, gives us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, so that we might have the eyes of our hearts enlightened. And then for what's the purpose? What is the purpose that God opens the eyes of our hearts? It's so that we might know what is the hope to which he has called us, that we might know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and that we might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might. Just that thought about having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, in ancient writing, so in biblical time, the heart was not this emotion, right? If we talk about our hearts, like I heart you.
Aww,
yeah, thanks. it's these feelings, you know, the heart is where all the feelings come from. But in ancient writing, the heart was really where the thought and will came from. That's, you know, they didn't talk about it being the brain. They talked about the heart. And so to have the eyes of your heart enlightened is really to have your eyes opened, your mind opened to the things of God. And then that opens up, you know, then we see these other things, those three things that we are able to see when our eyes are opened. So Stacey, you were texting us about a fish.
Oh gosh.
Let's just jump in. Tell me about a fish.
Well, so what stuck out to me from the sermon first was just that thought of being blind and then God turning us, giving us sight. So thinking about where in my life am I blind and how has God given me sight to see his ways better. And we went to, took the kids to the zoo yesterday with their cousins and my parents. And we went through the kingdoms of the night underneath the Desert Dome at the Omaha Zoo. And there was let's see if I can remember the name, the Mexican blind cavefish, I believe is what it was. It's a kind of tetra. And it said, usually I don't read the
kind
signs.
Kind of tetra.
But like tetra, you see a lot in aquariums.
Like, and like tuna tetrazzini?
No.
Oh.
In Tetris.
I was going to say
Tetris.
The game
That's
Tetris.
That's what I was thinking is Tetris. Keep going.
Tetra. I don't know. I used to have tetra in my fish tank and I'm sure when I was a kid. So
Greek,
like, oh, okay.
Right there.
This is a type of that. But it said that scientists study this fish and how it adapts to being blind and still swimming and surviving, so that they can better help people who are blind adapt and live and thrive while being blind. So I was just thinking about how, to be blind is unfortunate, but it's really just a limitation that a lot of people adapt to and still can live a very full life. But thinking of blindness in terms of spiritual blindness, I think the same is true, that a lot of people live in this blindness and we adapt to, this is the way life goes. Maybe I'm unaware of what I'm missing out on. Maybe I'm just choosing not to see it. But we get comfortable in our blindness, so to speak. We adapt to it. We're able to live a fairly functional life within our blindness. But when Christ opens our eyes, we see all that we were missing. And I feel like I've done that a lot in my own life, to kind of put the blinders on myself and forget to look at what Christ is doing. So sometimes I think that blindness is just a lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's an intentional, I'm choosing not to see.
But out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. But when Christ comes in and gives us that sight and gives us his wisdom and knowledge of, this is what life with me really looks like. You don't need to live this limited limited life anymore without seeing the big picture. Just brings a lot of newness and hope and truly like new pictures, even vibrant, a new vibrant colors. Life. Colors. Yeah. Yeah. Relations. And I don't know. So that was my thoughts at the zoo yesterday.
Thoughts at the zoo.
Thoughts at the zoo with Stacy.
But if you, that's amazing though. If you, I guess I have never really thought as a fish, mm-hmm. for example. And I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, well, you're, I don't know, in an ocean, in a lake.
Yeah.
It's dark. And here you are trying to maneuver around your surroundings of coral and right. anemones and wherever. I guess if it's in the kingdoms yeah. of the night, it would be swamps.
I think it was Mexican. But, I think it was the Gulf side, the Gulf coast of Mexico.
But it's think a about freshwater it. Fish. Think about how many.
Did you look it up?
I did look it up.
How many like barricades obstacles. Isn't the words, but yes, mm-hmm. obstacles to maneuver mm-hmm. around. But this right. fish has adapted to be able to mm-hmm. to do that, and that in general is right. amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would have never put two and two, especially with a fish.
Yeah,
you know, fish. I don't know. I just feel like the water adds another challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, where if you're not, this is I'll just stop talking. Like if you're not in the water, you don't.
There are plenty. Never mind. Out of the
I have not had enough caffeine today. And not taken enough naps. So
I like yeah. naps.
But I wonder too, you're talking about the obstacles. If that fish then suddenly could see, like, my life is so much better and easier, uh-huh. and I now see what's there. I was able to maneuver and function just fine before.
Right.
But now, and I just feel like that relief, I think, is what I was thinking about in terms of yeah. the scripture too, mm-hmm. that when we finally can see, it's that relief of, oh, now I understand. It. I yep. see. I don't have to struggle through this and adapt. And learn and continue to bump into things and yeah. figure out, okay, now what do I do? It's right there.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of the pressure away.
Well, it's your perspective, but another step of that perspective, mm-hmm. because just like when you were giving the analogy of being outside, having, you know, bad eyes, if I take my glasses mm-hmm. off, okay, there's three pictures in front of me, but it's going to look like a yellow square, a blue square, and an orange square. And the same thing, once you get something that corrects that, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, that really open my eyes up to see yeah, that this is
there.
Yeah. And kind of the same thing. It's like, if you take the time, you can see the blessings that Jesus has given us if you want to open your eyes up to it. But sometimes you need somebody to go boop and go, oh, Jesus. Wow, Jesus.
Yeah.
But I wonder, because, and maybe I'm taking this analogy too far, how many times, and as a pastor, I see this a lot where people are like, oh, yeah, Jesus opened my eyes. Yeah. You know what? I actually prefer not seeing. I prefer not. I like having the glasses there so I can put them on when I need them, you know, those sorts of things. But it's just better to not know where the obstacles are. It's better to not.
What are the reasons that people give for that?
Well, I'm meaning like, yeah, I have Jesus as my savior, but all those things he's opened my eyes to, like, you know, we talked about the Sermon on the Mount a couple. Yeah, I'd rather
more
not.
Controversial things that are.
The things that are, I like having Jesus as the life insurance, the fire insurance policy, but I really don't want to live the life that yeah. he wants me to live.
If it basically what I'm hearing is
if it serves my purpose.
If it does well, or the opposite of that is I'm not able to live the life that I want to yeah. lead because mm-hmm. there's this whole yeah. thing.
Or we just twist and say, well, no, God is love and he loves me how I am, and so I can just
do whatever I want
and then I'm okay.
Yeah, you want the
get out of jail reward
yeah. gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the prosperity gospel that Jesus and the theology of glory is the theological term for it, that just everything's, that's the sunshine and rainbows. It's just going to fit
cupcakes
me.
And sun.
There's such own and cupcakes, yeah. It's just going to fit. It's amazing how I can find exactly what I want Jesus to say and just happen to miss all those things that I don't want him to say.
Yes.
Well, and in a way that I was thinking, we looked at some of the stories where blindness has occurred in the Bible, and one of them was Jesus giving sight to a man born blind, which yep. in the prophecies of the Old Testament, that was one that the Pharisees and all of the Jewish nation were warned to look out against, that this is the sign that the Messiah is here. This is one of the big signs. In fact, in some of my research, I believe it was one of the three big signs that the Messiah had come, that he would heal a man and return his sight who was born blind. And so it should have been the neon sign that said, he is here. But instead, in the account in John, the Pharisees try to explain it away on the technicality that he did it on the Sabbath, and the real Messiah would not break the Sabbath as they understood it. And how many times do we live in blindness on technicalities, like, or try to get out on it. Like you said, Pastor, you know, Jesus loves me how I am. He died for my sins. He'll forgive everything. Like, or the one I've heard a lot in working with youth is the idea that, no, I'm not perfect. Nobody is, but I'm not like in jail for a major crime. So I can be bad, but I'm not bad. And so, you know, I'm doing all right. And how many times do we stay blind on technicalities spiritually?
All the time.
Yeah, I was going to say often.
Lots.
But I mean, you could say that with any of us. Mm-hmm. There's probably all kinds of God's laws or mm-hmm. wants for us that we're even we ourselves that we like, oh.
We know better, but.
Either we know better or we don't. Like, I think there are many times where people sin and they're like, wait, that. And a lot of that's, I didn't know. Okay, well, now you do. Knock it off.
Stop it off.
Like, you know, don't. Like with Jesus, oh, I didn't know that hating my brother was a sin as long as I didn't actually murder him. Well, it is. So stop it. But that's the, you know, the thing with, well, Jesus went and ate with sinners and sat with sinners and spent time with sinners. Yeah, but when Jesus left them, or when they left, they weren't sinners. Like,
they had heard.
They had heard and changed. They had, at least from what we see, now we don't get the, you know, the 20 years later story for some of them. But like Jesus says, go and sin no more. Not like, oh, I love you, prostitute. You just keep being a prostitute. No, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. I have opened your eyes to these things. So stop doing it.
Well, and how often do we ask the question in our lives, what does God want for my life? You know, it's people want to get exact parameters like, ooh, should I have Pop-Tarts or toast? What would, what would God want for my life? But when we get the actual answer, we don't want to swallow it. What God actually wants for our life, like is I forget which gospel this verse is from, but he says, be perfect as the Lord your God is perfect. That is what he wants. Yeah. You know, that's not, I love you just the way you are. Keep being whoever you are. He wants perfection. Now, forgiveness is that reassurance that when we're unperfect, his perfect blood covers
forgiveness.
Us. Forgiveness. There we go.
Well, and so like Jesus doesn't set this bar so high just to say, oh, and we talked a little bit about this last time. Jesus doesn't set this bar so high that to get us to say, oh, he probably didn't really mean that because there's no way that I could attain that. Jesus says, no, this is what you are supposed to attain. And when you don't, it should drive you to me. Not to just say, I guess I'll just do it my way because I can't attain that. No, I can't attain that. I need someone who will for me. Jesus, I need you. And so like it should drive us to Jesus, not to our own will.
Just yep. That simple. All just, right.
Yep.
Just stop doing it.
Really, just stop it. You know, it's, and you know, Casey, you were saying, it made me laugh because there's so many times I'm like, all right, Jesus, should I do this good thing or should I do this bad thing? All right, if the next car that goes by is red, I will do the good thing. But if it's green, I'll do the bad thing. And so the red car drives by and I'm like, just kidding, Jesus. How about if the next car that drives by is blue with yellow flames, then I'll do the good thing. But if it's any other color, I'll do the bad thing. And then a blue with yellow flame car drives by and I'll be like, yeah, you're just messing with me. I'll do the bad thing anyway.
Okay, we got a question.
Okay.
Dan said, asked.
You Dan.
Dan Carlson asked, let's say someone is a Christian and knows he or she sins, asks for forgiveness, but keeps repeating the same sin over and over again. And then asks the question, I guess the question would be, what happens if somebody does that a lot?
Oh, I wrestle with that one. Like that's been a faith shaker for me. Absolutely. Because in human understanding, like how many times do, at least me working with the youth group, how many times and you guys as parents, have you told someone, you know, your kid or someone you're teaching, don't do this, you know, and you scold them once and they keep doing it. Like in human understanding, that's a sign you don't take it seriously. So I wrestled for the longest time, like if I keep going back to my pet sins, does this mean I'm not taking God seriously? Is there a point where he's not going to take me seriously? You know, that's incredibly real.
So one of the questions that one of my professors always encouraged me to ask as a follow-up, and I don't know if I'll get the response to but that's fine. The answer is, why do you want to know? And that's a very helpful question in answering this question. If you want to know because you want me to tell you that it's okay, just keep sinning because Jesus will forgive you, then I can go back to the, well, Jesus tells you to be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. You need to hear the law in this and you need to hear me tell you to knock it off. If the reason you want to know is because you struggle and you try so hard to rid yourself of this and sounding like what it's an addiction of whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be a drug or alcohol addiction, but like we
this is an unhealthy pattern.
An unhealthy pattern, yes. If you have struggled time and time again, and no matter how hard you try, it continues to come up in your life, that's when you need to hear the good news of Jesus, that he has died for that sin. He has forgiven those sins. You know, his disciples asked the question, well, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who does the same thing to me over and over? 70 times? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. Like, you never stop forgiving. And that, because that's what Jesus does. He never stops forgiving. No matter how many times we sin, he continues to forgive. But then Paul asks the question, well, then so should I continue sinning so that grace may abound? No. And that's where, you know, as Lutherans, we can get into trouble when in really getting into kind of the free grace, the cheap grace. Well, Jesus died for my sins, so I can do whatever the heck I want. No, Jesus died for your sins, and he has given you, and we're getting into this coming week, he is, you know, you are saved by grace through faith. It's not of your works. It's not because of your works, but it is for good works, right? Because Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's handiwork, created to do good works that he has prepared for you in advance. So we're not saved by our good works, but we're saved for our good works. And so really, to answer the question, it depends on why you want to know. If it's does this give me a license to keep on sinning? Then you need to hear the law, and you need, and this is not just pointed at you, Dan, but this is those who, I mean, everyone really asks that question. If it's so that to give you the freedom to keep sinning, Jesus says you need to be perfect.
Well, I heard two sides of that coin when you were talking. One of them was the individual that's sinning against you or sin that you, so therefore the forgiving of that. And then the other side that I heard was if you're the one actually doing the sin and you know you're sinning, but you're having a hard time not doing that sin, whatever that sin is.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Yep.
And one of the big things that, and I heard, yes, the good news and all this other stuff, but mainly the main thing that I'm, when I hear all that, is the fact that maybe this sin is too big for you to do. You can't really figure it out on your own. You need Jesus and the grace of God to help you walk you through this, and the Holy Spirit and people around you and all this other stuff.
And so, I think that's, you got to the Spirit doesn't just magically go like, oh, great, you've recognized now, yay, you don't struggle with this anymore. Even Paul said, hey, I've got this struggle, this thorn in the flesh. And, you know, there's lots of different people have lots of different ideas as to what that thorn in the flesh was. But some say it was a sin, some sort of sin that, or some sort of leaning, you know, towards a sin that he continued to struggle with. But one of the ways, you know, God uses people in our lives. And so, you know, maybe that, you know, that's an accountability partner. That's a counselor. That's a pastor, that you can, sometimes you do just need, sometimes it's very helpful. I know it's Lutherans. We don't do this because it's a Catholic thing. but sometimes private confession and absolution can be the one thing that you just really need. Cause you need,
that could be with a good friend.
It could be with a good friend. Yeah. But there's also just something good about hearing that from your pastor. Like, cause a good friend can just say, oh, it's no big deal. Like,
well, I understand that, but I'm just saying like the actual verbalizing.
Absolutely. Yeah. A good friend can be a perfect person for that. But, it's nice to be able to hear that, like from a pastor who takes it, he's not going to just blow it off like, oh, it's no big deal. But to still be able to then speak the words, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because when we do that corporately, when we do that in the congregation, it can be easy to say, yes, I confess my sins. And yes, the pastor spoke that absolution, but he doesn't know what I really did.
Yeah.
And if you go to a pastor and you confess a sin and that pastor says, I can't forgive you of that sin. Like if you go and you're broken by the sin and you just need to hear those words of forgiveness, and the pastor is like, yeah, no, that's a bad sin. Run from that pastor. That pastor's job is to speak the words of forgiveness to you. And he might say, hey, now here are some things that would help you. Like go tell someone, you know, that you have sinned against. You need to talk to them too. Mm-hmm. But it's so beautiful to hear those words of forgiveness from a pastor who you've actually spoken, this is what I've done. I'm torn up by this. I hate that I do this. I hate that I continue to do this.
And being honest with yourself. yourself.
Yeah.
Being honest with yourself and listening to your pastor or the word and going, because of this, this is what's... Yeah. And I think that's a lot of people, because we're talking about being blind. A lot of that stuff is not being honest with yourself when you sit there and go, I know I'm doing something wrong, but I'm just going to just put my hat down and my brim and block yeah. out. I mean, I can see kind of the bottom feet of it, but I'm not going to actually acknowledge it and actually go, why is this a sin and why am I doing it?
And a big way that we do that is by saying, oh, it's not hurting anybody else.
Yeah, except for God.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hurting other people.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably hurting the person that's doing it, whether a sin is being committed.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounds like a bad word.
It is a bad word, but so is sin. So.
Yeah. Whether the sin is against you or you are sinning against somebody else or a group of you are all doing it together. It's just, I can't remember where I was going with this.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I lost my
It's usually happening against. It's affecting someone else too.
Right. Yeah. Yes. It's affecting the people around you or, you know, I look at gossip. We all love gossip. We all want to know different things, but gossiping is a sin because you don't know if it's truthful, if it's accurate, if this really is it. And, you know, do you want to be the one that goes, oh, hey, guess what? I heard that plan over there, you know, but then you're fueling the fire. It's like, you're not trying to stop it. You're not trying to put it out, but you need that craving. It's like, oh, I need to gossip. I need to do this. Yeah. Well, you need to replace that with.
So the Babylon Bee had a picture today of, you know, trade this secular thing for a and it had gossip in there. And so you can trade gossip for prayer requests. That's the church gossip train. Why is this person on the prayer list? What do I need to be praying for? You just want the information.
Now, Dan was he was basically, I think he's talking about, he wrapping his mind around the whole fact of somebody who keeps on sinning
against
and basically saying, well, then I'll just ask for forgiveness and it's all good.
Yeah.
So that's what his,
that's the person that needs to hear the law and hear Jesus saying, hey, you're called to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because that what's happening there is the thought that sin's not a big deal. No, sin separates me from Jesus, but it is through the blood of Jesus that he has brought me back into a relationship with him. But sin, that doesn't make sin not a big deal anymore. Sin is still a very big deal. It is incredibly damaging to individuals. It's incredibly damaging to our relationship with Jesus. And then once we realize that, and once we repent, and to repent, and this is a part of forgiveness, repentance is really to turn away from that sin. Uh-huh. Repent means that I am going to turn away from that lifestyle, turn away from that sin, turn away from whatever I'm doing, and move away from that. And yes, and so when we get to that point, when we get to that brokenness, when we get to the I really shouldn't be doing this. Now, again, there is, for some, it is an addiction. Mm-hmm. It isn't a, like, I'm trying, but I'm stuck. Okay, what are you doing to find help?
Get unstuck.
What are you doing to get unstuck? Yeah.
I think it's also appropriate, if this person is sinning against you, there may need to be some boundaries put up, because it's not fair for you to be taken advantage of as a friend, as a whatever you are with this person, to say, there's this pattern that's persisting. You're continuing to hurt me in this way, and then ask for forgiveness, but there's no change.
But even that is
set up. Yeah.
Even that is truth within itself.
Yeah. Well, and the example I had heard once was, what do you do as a Christian if you're mugged in a back alley? You know, do you say, I forgive you, mugger, and just keep walking? No, your love at that point is to call the police and stop the, you know, because he needs to be correct in his ways. That's not loving him to say, I forgive you, and then just walk off without change.
Because
someone else is going to get hurt, and he is also in turn damaging his own relationship with others and God. There's sometimes we need that cold wake-up call.
Except Jesus tells us to give him our cloak as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to turn the other cheek.
Well, if I was mugged, just take it all.
He's not asking. He's taking.
Yeah.
If your brother asks for your cloak.
That's true.
If he hits you, you turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But
he's still not taken.
Yeah. Now, a while ago, you brought up the hypocrisy of people who say these things. I want to move on from my sin, but yet keep on sinning. Mm-hmm. And that was bothering you a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, have you got past that? I mean, what is the, I think you were kind of in the same place where Dan was coming from, going, well, these people just keep on doing the same thing. It's like, when really the question is, when do we as a Christian or as a church turn to the individual and go, see ya?
Ooh, let's look up Matthew 18, shall we?
It's almost like I set it up.
Matthew 18 tells us first as individuals, go to that person and talk to them one-on-one. If that doesn't work, bring a buddy, talk to them. If that doesn't work, you know, bring some people from your church, or, you know, some higher elders is what we go with. If that doesn't work, bring it before the congregation. If that doesn't work, kick them out. It's called excommunication. It is not something that often happens. And I'll be honest, a lot of times it's just because it's really awkward. And
yeah, but that could be, you could look at that example and put it in your life. You talk to somebody individually and they're still doing the sin.
Yep.
You could also then say, okay, I want to bring our mutual friend or something.
Yeah.
And then you have to go up the food chain. If it's a coworker, then maybe it's a boss.
Yeah.
If it's not a coworker, then maybe it's a mentor of some kind, or somebody with just a little bit more Vespa, you know.
But I guess in my mind, it depends on what it is. You know, there's some things that are hard to let go, but it's like, where is this getting me? You know, is this type of behavior, or is this type of feeling, is this type of anxiety, is it worth it? Like, do I want to feel like this at the end of this? I'm like, no. It's kind of like, I look at it like a really bad hangover. You know, you all.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
I don't know, like, because this is a family podcast. I know children listen.
Really bad headache?
Really bad headache. Yes. But think about it. You know, we've all, I should say most everyone at one time or another has had that one or two pass where they should have stopped. And then that next day you wake up and you go, oh, I'm never doing that again. But then a month later, 2 months later, you're back in the same boat. And it's like, when do you learn your lesson? It's like you feel like complete yuck, but yet you keep initiating that behavior. And it's kind of the same thing where if you're around a group of people or coworkers or whatnot, and it's like, if there's a sour apple in there and it's like, why do I keep craving this sour apple? I'm like, oh, it feels good to be doing this. But then I'm like, wow, I feel bad about myself, you know, or, oh, I don't like how they talk about somebody else or this or that. And you just kind of have to like, is this worth it? Is this the person that I want to be? Is this the person that God has taught me to be? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, in 5 years, all of this is not going to matter. In 10 years, this isn't going to matter. What's going to matter is how I've lived my life. And have I lived it to the best way that I could, and the best way that's in God's eyes, and the best way that, I don't know, teaches the people around me to make better choices?
Well, so one thing we have to clarify when we're talking about when it's a sin against us, forgiveness and reconciliation are two very different things. I can forgive someone for something that they've done. And forgiveness, really all it is saying, hey, Jesus, I'm going to let you deal with it. I'm not going to have anxiety. I'm not going to get upset over this. Jesus, I'm going to let you judge this, because you are the ultimate judge. Your judgment will be better than mine. So I'm just going to let you deal with this. And whether that's their sins are forgiven because they have trusted in you, then that's your judgment. Your judgment was actually put on Jesus, and he took that punishment. If they don't have faith in you, then that judgment's going to look a lot different. But Jesus, I'm going to let you deal with it. That's what forgiveness is. It is turning it over to Jesus, saying, I forgive you. I'm going to let Jesus be the judge of this action, and being okay with that. You can't say, I'm going to let Jesus be the judge of this action as long as Jesus brings down the law. No, I'm going to let Jesus be the judge of this. That's what forgiveness is. Reconciliation is coming back into a right relationship as though it never happened, as though the offense never took place. There are times where reconciliation is not a good and will never happen. And reconciliation is really based on the other person. I mean, if I sin against Stacy, and, you know, Stacy can forgive me, but if I don't want reconciliation, if I don't want to heal that, then it's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so then she's going to put up a wall and say, all right, I'm not going to trust you, or I'm not going to, or, you know, whatever it is. And there's going to be a wall there, you know, with their friends who you just need to say, if you don't realize that you hurt me and you don't want to make amends for that, okay, I forgive you. I'm going to let Jesus deal with this. You know, I'm not going to continue in this relationship. I mean, the obvious one, let's just go way out there. Like if you've got a you know, you let someone watch your children and they take advantage of your children, you can forgive them. They're not going to be your babysitter ever again.
Right.
Right. I mean, that doesn't mean you're not forgiving.
Right.
That just means you're not stupid, and you're not going to get taken care of, or taken advantage of. So there's a difference between forgiveness peace and reconciliation. What? You're,
I hear a cricket. Go.
That's Casey. It's
Casey's cricket.
He's outside in Mississippi.
Okay. I was like,
bedtime is still going on behind me. It's and okay. one of them, I can hear in the background, one of them's throwing a fit. It'd be louder in there.
There you go.
No, we can't hear that. We hear the crickets, though.
Yeah. I'm like, I hear a cricket.
I can mute myself for a little bit. It's all good.
No, it's all fine.
You're fine, Casey. You know, it was just funny because I'm like,
I could do crickets too.
There
it
is.
I thought you had just turned it way down.
No, I wasn't going to do that to Gerber. He was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
we weren't listening after a while.
He was trying to make sense of what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
No, I think that, yeah. Well, anyways, thanks for giving giving us a topic because that really really kind of formed this little. So what was the, that was number one. What was the other two things that you?
Oh, those, did we actually?
Your points?
The eyes, that wasn't even part one. That was, we got to, the eyes of our heart would be opened for three reasons, and we haven't even gotten to that. We just got to the eyes of our hearts would be opened.
Good.
So the big one that I really kind of focused on was the last one, so that we would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now we can talk a little bit about that one.
Put that in
so that we would know the power of Jesus in our lives today.
Okay, good. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Now in a couple weeks we'll get to Ephesians 3, which is one of my verse 20 and 21 is that's what that will be our focus text. But now to him who is able to do. Now the ESV, I'm gonna say it, guys.
What,
Stacy, will you read it in the NIV, because the NIV is better. It's here
better visualization.
I feel like I'm missing.
Ephesians 3:20 is better in the NIV than the English Standard Version, I think. Now to him who is able to do it immeasurably more.
I feel like
more.
This needs to be a t-shirt. The NIV version is better than ESV.
No, only for these verses only.
Yeah.
Ephesians 3:20.
Now 21. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
So to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. That was actually a theme my first year that I was in Michigan. It was the theme for the district. And it really got us kind of thinking, what are those God-sized dreams in our lives that we kind of push away, that we're like, I couldn't do that.
What is it, define that?
A God-sized dream.
Yeah.
It's something a vision that God puts in your heart of something that he wants, a dream to be able to do.
The reason I'm asking is that, you know, in business school, we talk about the bigger than that you can actually, a dream that you can, a goal that you can't actually achieve.
That would be this sort of thing, but that I could not achieve, but that God could.
Yeah.
Like
peace on earth.
No. I think honestly, like Stacy, you've been kind of with Call Your Mom. That's not something that you can do.
That is immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine.
Right.
Well, yes, no. I mean, without help.
Right.
Sure, I get that.
But also without Jesus, guiding that.
I would never on my own.
See, I'm kind of on the more of the side with Paul. Like,
okay, just
I can't
ignore Jesus.
No, that's fine.
That's not what I'm saying.
But when you say like an immeasurable goal, something that is larger than
you could ever ask or imagine, like Paul says. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like, I don't even know what that would be besides world peace, you know, is what's going through my head, because I feel like anything that I would set up for myself would be attainable.
Yeah, but even calling your mom to me
is an attainable goal.
That is something that is in my, when you talk about God's size, mm-hmm. to me, it's like, yes, I understand that his hands will have to be moving the chess pieces and putting people in your life to get it going. And there's all this other stuff. If that's what you mean, then it's completely,
it's doable.
It's doable because I don't see a reason why that wouldn't be doable. Yeah. Because I also believe,
I see a lot of reasons.
Well, I also believe that God will put those chess pieces in your life that you need to attain that. Right. As long as he finds that goal is not your goal. And he's like, hey, listen, you're doing this on your own. Have fun. I get that. But when I hear your definition, I think
world peace.
Well, and I think the way you described it, Paul, puts it right down the line of that faith versus the what we see as the earthly reality, because you understand that God can do that. That's what this verse is trying to communicate to us, the fact that he can do immeasurably more and that God can and will work his will through us if that's what he wants for our lives.
Yeah.
If we look at what we can do on our own, and if we only were relying on what we know that we can do or the people we have access to, then that's what this verse is trying to combat.
Yeah, and I think the problem with with my definition is the fact that I already believe that.
Good.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, yeah, it is. You're right. So like one of the, like for me, it's honestly, and it's a come into a well-established Lutheran congregation and convince.
My brain heard you say lubricated.
Lutheran congregation and convince well people. That like we can do confirmation differently.
Yes.
But you're doing that.
Because, yeah, but that should not have happened as well and as easily as
did. I'm looking even beyond that. When we had the COOF coming around,
yeah,
and the stuff that we did within Trinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a year ago we would never been like, oh, let's make videos every week.
Yeah.
Or let's do this.
Let's take all of school or, and throw it online.
Or even with like giving, you've talked about.
I just say let's take the year of the COOF and
you're the COOF.
Increase giving by over $100,000.
Yeah, because
that's a God size. And the kiddos
not in church for 3 months.
And the kiddos that did the plant sale.
We have not passed a plate.
Yeah.
Offering and
yeah.
By the way, offering's different this week. We're doing something. We're not passing the plate, but we're changing it up this week. Oh. Get ready.
I've kind of enjoyed not passing the plate. We're,
We had an elders meeting last night. I don't know if we're ever going back to that. The reason that I would say almost all churches have continued to pass the plate, even though it feels coercion-y.
Is that a word?
Yeah, sure. Is the fear of, well, if we don't pass the plate, no one will give.
Yeah, and that is
and that clearly, was just completely blown away this last year. And so I would be surprised if a lot of churches, I would not be surprised if a lot of churches never go back to passing a plate around.
All right. But to go back to your God-sized
goal. Let's go back to that.
I know, rabbit trails. But go back to your God-sized, because when I hear God-sized goal, it is way past anything that I can imagine or comprehend.
Right.
Even how to even start to solve that.
Well, so when I talk about that God-sized dream, it's a dream that God puts in your heart that you go, yeah, I don't think I can do that. And so there, and I'm not saying that because Paul, you're a go-getter. You're just like, oh, I got an idea. I'm going to go do it. So I'm not like, but there are some of us who say, nope, God, sorry. And honestly, Stacy, talking about what you're talking about, I'm like, if this is just Stacy who came up with this idea and wants to do it and God's not behind this, there's no way that Call Your Mom will move forward. And
it's not.
Well, I'm
it will.
Well,
and because this is something that God has put on your heart for the betterment of this community.
He keeps putting people in my life that are asking me about it. I'm like, all right.
Well, and that's the thing.
Those are the things.
And because I believe in that so much that I just think it is. It is to me, it's not, oh, only if God is going to be helping me with this. It is, well, of course he is.
I can do all things.
And that's what... But that's not how most people, that's not how everyone thinks.
Well, I get that because nobody wants to think like me. They're all
Yes. But that's what I'm just like, we don't need to have this conversation so much with you. But there are lots of people who need to hear this conversation that we cannot say, this God's put this dream in my heart, but that's a lot of work.
Yeah. And that and actually,
he's not saying that it won't be work.
Yeah.
And how many times need to take steps to make that happen?
Yeah.
And how many times in scripture have we seen that play out? And one of my favorite stories to go to is the account of God coming to Moses and giving him the directive that he is going to be God's instrument to free the Israelites from slavery. And Moses sees the earthly obstacles and they're realistic to him. Yeah, he's not a great public speaker. They won't listen to me. You know, he throws up every single obstacle in the way. But each time, God is the one who removes the obstacle and tells Moses how God is going to act. Now, our disadvantage in these situations is God doesn't tell us in advance how he's going to do immeasurably more. But we rely on verses like this is to be that immeasurably more sure confidence for us.
But then also, to end the verse, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. It's easy to say, like, all right, God did this great thing. You know, it could be easy, and I'm just going to keep throwing out Call Your Mom because so more people can ask Stacy about it and it can keep moving forward. But it could be easy to get to the end of that and go, like, look at all that these women in your life and these people look at as you guys came together, look at what you did. No, to God be the glory because he orchestrated all of it. And I'm putting it in the past tense, like it's already done so that we can watch this podcast in 2 years and you can go like, oh yeah, look at that.
Look how scared I was.
Yeah.
Okay. God.
Okay.
Well, and that's interesting. I don't know if any time in my life have I ever felt that way. The like, I don't know if I can do this.
You're unusual.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that there's toughness and I know that there's going to be strife or whatever, but I've always been like, oh, well, we can get over there. I don't know how yet, but we're going to get over there.
Yeah.
And confidence in that.
That's not normal. I'm just, not in a bad thing. That's a good thing, but that's not normal.
Which is normal. Because I thought that I was just,
you're not normal.
I thought that was the norm. I understand that there
is how you are, Lacey?
It depends on the things, because there's some, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. Mm-hmm. There are things where I'm like, oh.
It's like, I don't want to do it.
Right. Exactly. But then I think sometimes it goes back to mindset. It's your own mindset. It's like, you know, you guys are big into the CrossFit. Okay. And you see this, well, think about it. You see this bar with, you know, X amount of weight. So now you're up to 300 and some pounds. You're like, oh, I think I can do this.
400.
Okay. 400. And I would be standing there with the bar and going, well, let's give this a shot, you know?
Yeah.
But it's something those, you can either do it or you can't. And most of the time I think, oh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then when I think, oh, I can't do this, somehow I find a way to work through it. Like,
or the poor people in your lives that can help you through it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I think the negative though there, and we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks. Cause we're
talking about it now.
I know. We'll come back.
Paul, further developer.
But this is still, a lot of these conversations are still, I can do it. I can do it. That's not what this is saying. You know, this is not saying you can do it.
Maybe we are different then.
This is saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah. This is saying that you can't do it.
Without God.
But Jesus will do it. And he will do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. So Paul, that might be world peace. And I've, you from your Bostonian home, I think is the best to bring world peace.
No, that's why I keep on saying that. Because world peace is not one of those things that I look at and go,
I could do that.
I can do that.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I'm just, it's just not going to happen. I think the difference, what you're saying is I don't sit there and go, well, I can do this. Except I do. Except that I'm always kind of assuming it's almost like an implied with God's help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't say it out loud and I'm not all like preachy about it. Yeah. But it's just like,
preach, brother.
You have that assurance and confidence.
Yeah. I'd be like, I know this.
You listening to my sermon.
What did you say?
Sure and certain confidence.
I think that was from the sermon on Sunday.
Yes, it was like the bolded words on the.
Is that when I fell asleep?
No, that was during the confession absolution, Paul.
Yeah, I speaking of confession.
Did you really fall asleep?
I was playing guitar. And the next thing I know, Gerber goes, and we're going to play this song. And I'm like, we are? I completely missed.
Paul was not absolved this week because he didn't hear it.
I just remember without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm like, those are strong words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are strong.
But like, also like, that's a weird idiom, without a shadow of a doubt. Like, where did that come from? I don't know.
I've been watching a lot of crime investigative murder shows on Netflix. So when I heard without a shadow of a doubt, I'm like, oh, you have to swear on the Bible that you are going to tell the whole truth.
Nothing,
you know,
about the truth.
Yeah.
On a shadow of a doubt.
Right. And usually a lawyer will say, you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that this person did or did not do this. And I'm like, those are fighting words, you know, in my mind. I'm like, wow, I don't know. Do I believe this? Do I believe enough to say guilty? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what I'm trying to get at. Without a shadow of doubt, I know that these things are possible, because how did anything else get done in the world? I see people who do amazing things. And to me, in my side of my point of view, is like, even though they're doing amazing things, I'm sitting there going, they might not believe in God, but I still feel like God's hand had.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what and even when I sit there and go, oh, look at how amazing this person did making this. Like one of the big examples recently is they're talking about, especially 4th of July, talking about the Declaration of Independence and these people who wrote this. And I'm like, yeah, but in my brain, I never verbalized this until now, but it's just like, but God was there and he was pushing those things, and these things were because of what, you know what I mean?
So when we get to this sermon,
I'm not talking.
Feel free to sleep. You've heard it. Stacey, got your Bible out?
No.
Well, no?
I mean, I did, but I was just thinking about, we've talked about before, but in Job, where Job's thinking like, oh, I know all this, and why'd you do this, God? And God goes back to the, where were you when I laid the foundations? Come up here. And what does he even say? Like,
he's blown.
Basically, like, come fight me like a man. What does he say? I just loved it.
Put a no, dukes.
Brace yourself like a man.
That is
like
my favorite passage of scripture.
Yeah, brace yourself
like a man, because here it comes.
Here it comes.
Brace yourself.
So all this that you think that
another
you're
way to say that is, And another way to say that is, okay, you want to face me on my level? Come on, face me on my level, Job. You think we're on the same level? You're going to find out fast that I am God and you are not.
Yeah, we find that out.
By the end, he goes, okay.
Okay, my bad, thanks.
Well, and what's interesting seeing that from that point of view, when I hear about calling your mom, of course, I'm like, of course that's going to work.
Of course it will.
And you're like, I don't have confidence. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any confidence?
Yep.
Mindset.
Yep.
So there you go.
Limiting beliefs. Yep.
Well, I mean, it's just like,
it's okay.
And I keep on going back to this, like, well, I mean, if God wants this to happen,
right,
it's going to, I mean,
yeah,
he's going to put the people in place or the situations in place that it is going to
fall into place.
Yeah. Well,
but you still
not
have
that
to
you
put,
can't, not that you can't just sit back and go, God's going to put it in place.
No you effort, have to put in the effort, the work.
Well, because like, God has created this, you know, these good works in advance. He's prepared them in advance for you.
For me to do.
Because it's not like he's
basically delegating it out to you. And if you don't do the job, he's going to find somebody else to do it.
Maybe.
That's why I do. So in the baptism, if we
fish, one of the two.
Yep.
Fish might, okay.
Yeah.
a blind fish.
We don't use like out of the hymnal, the liturgy for the baptism. I talk through a lot of it, but one of the things that, you know, when I'm talking to parents, godparents, and asking them, hey, are you going to commit to do these things? When I talk to the congregation, say, hey, are you going to commit to do these things?
Yes,
with the help of God. Yeah. Right. And then my response to them is, may God enable you and will you to do these things. And may he fill in those spaces where you fall short. And that's really what this is like, that he's going to do incredible things. And yes, he's asking you to do them, but he's going to fill in where you're unable to do those things. So just go do them. Go do those God-sized dreams. Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Stop sinning. Do the big things. It's really easy to just speak
so,
that.
It's just so just, easy. Just do it.
Simple, not easy. I've got a wedding sermon coming up that I'm talking about.
Simple and easy.
It's
don't call the wife.
It might be simple.
Don't call the wife simple. Easy.
It, not necessarily easy. We're talking about forgiveness.
Don't call her either of those.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but the concept of forgiveness is very simple.
But marriage is not.
But easy. Not easy.
Yeah.
So
that's good. That's good. As long as you say that, you don't go something like the wife is easy.
I won't say that. But thank you for. Thank you for that guidance, Paul.
I know. I'm making sure. Just accountability.
Speaking of people being good with the words.
No, I am not.
Stacy, would you close us in prayer?
Goodness. Yes. Lord, thank you for this time together. And we especially thank you that we had some interaction tonight, Lord, some questions, further questions to prompt our discussion and just help us to open our eyes to your truth, to not continue to walk in blindness, but to help lead one another on into your light, into your sight. Thank you for giving us your words that we can read. They may not always be clear and make perfect sense, but Lord, we know that in your timing that you will reveal the right things to us and to our hearts. So Lord, may we be persistent to be in your word, to find time to read it regularly, to come to you in prayer, and to continue to gather and reflect as we hear your word, as we read it. Thank you for our time together tonight. Amen.
All right, Casey, you have any announcements?
Well, yes, I do. In fact, we've got two announcements coming up for our family nights. So the first one is this Saturday, this very Saturday.
This Saturday July 17th. Coming up?
The day after my birthday. Fact,
the 17th.
We are having a pool party at Ronan Pool in Fremont, Nebraska from 6:30 to 8:30, completely free. Come and swim. And if you don't want to swim, come anyway and have some fun and fellowship.
So
and then
just like real quick to follow up on that. So my wife and I took our kids to a pool party at Ronan this past Sunday because one of our members had a birthday party. And so our kids went, they swam for 2 hours and they were exhausted when they got home and went right to sleep. So if you are a parent who wants to put your children to sleep quickly next Saturday evening, bring them to the Trinity pool party. I cannot guarantee that they will fall asleep, but there's a good chance.
And I can say if you've got little ones that like to jump off the diving board, but don't like that 12-foot water, bring them their life jackets because that will also wear them out because Hudson at the ripe old age of like 3 would jump off all of them.
Bennett was doing that.
Yeah.
He's now 4.
Yeah.
But all right.
Just saying, in case you don't think about it.
What you're promoting is peace and quiet.
Peace and quiet.
Family sleep. Time. Yeah, really sleep.
Peace and harmony.
Family time and then good rest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. What else is going on, Casey?
And then the Friday after that, July 23rd at Trinity, hopefully in the parking lot, we are having a night of praise hosted by none other than the Trinity team, praise team, and Paul Paquette.
I know, it's not and. I am part of the team, so we are one in the same.
Very good. Words are not always my best friend. But
welcome to my world, Casey. Ask
exactly.
Your wife.
We care about each other because we all don't master English together, this and is it's true. Great.
And just remember that your wife good. Is also part of that praise team.
I'm very uneducated on some things, so there we go.
Yes.
Education is not my strong suit.
So that the praise night is completely free. We've got Kona Ice coming to provide some shaved ice with different flavors. That's the part that is not free.
Kona Ice?
Kona.
Kona.
I don't
Kona.
Think they have
Kona. K-O-N-A. Hey, and we are working up a scavenger hunt.
What's a scavenger hunt? So are we doing that during the concert?
No, it is the lead up to it. There will be a cutoff time. You must complete the scavenger hunt by 7:15, and then prize time is shut down.
What we should do is put the 6 mics or 7 mics we have in different places. And locate. I'm not going to do this. And so if you don't complete the scavenger hunt, we can't do the concert.
No, we're not doing that. But, Casey, right, if they complete the scavenger hunt, there's a possibility of maybe some free Kona Ice.
Ooh. I can confirm that.
Or come up and sing a song with us?
No.
No, we're not doing that either.
Paul, the goal is to encourage, not scare away.
First prize is request a song for Paul to sing on the spot.
There you go.
Not
I would
really.
Do it too.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Yeah.
It might not be good, but
Jeremiah
I can.
Free bird.
All right. Bird. There you go.
I will do that. I would.
I know what I'll recommend.
Oh, me too. Jesus. Nope. Oh, I'm going to stick with Jeremiah. So, was a
any honor, Elsa? What? No. Oh, yes. So
I had a very important question I forgot to ask you after church on Sunday.
We'll finish
Jesus
with this question.
Why didn't we sing Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, on Sunday?
Open the eyes of my
well,
heart,
to be honest with
Lord.
You, to be honest with you, it was because when I read.
You didn't know that part of
it. No. When I read it, the verse, I saw God's grace in everything. And I was like, oh, I'll just put grace.
Grace. Okay.
And then you're like, actually, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, on Sunday morning, you're like, we're talking about grace, right? Because that's all our songs. Because even the first song, I'm like, I don't remember what song we're singing first, but I know it's grace something.
Well, that was because when I read it, because everything that you were talking about was like, well, through God's grace, we'd do this, and it's great. Yep. And I was like, oh, it's grace. Well, we're talking about grace. And we're not talking about eyes at all.
Yeah.
I would never have. That's why this week I asked, I'm like, what are you talking about this week?
Jesus.
Yeah. And see, he says those answers, and yet I'm He's like, helpful. That's not.
Just I told you what we were talking songs. About. We talked about it even here today. So, all right. Thanks, y'all. Bye. No.
Peace out.
So, yes. I guess the main thing.
Keep the main thing.
Ephesians.
Read Ephesians.
Just do it.
And let God work through you to do some big things that you could never ask or imagine.
Yeah. All right. And Casey, don't run away. We'll talk to you right after the outro. So does that sound good?
Hey, hit it.
You know what? I think I want to say thank you to everyone. And if you guys really you guys want to email us or come and join us, I would be grateful because I will say that was it Chris?
Dan.
Different people. I was thinking Dan's comment today really led our discussion.
Yeah. So, fantastic. Thank
that
you, Dan.
That was nice. Thank you.
So, all right. Anybody have anything else to say?
All right.
Oh. Nope. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.